The next item is discussion. Presentation of the 2018-19 Blue Crab Winter Dredge Study. Results and information and data summaries pertaining to Virginia blue crab fisheries. Listen up.
That is a mouthful. Good morning, Commissioner and members of the Commission. It's
good morning.
To be here in the morning. It's
sir.
Less than a month, sorry. I'm going to be talking about the results from the Blue Crab Winter Dredge Survey, and then we're going to follow that up by Alexa Crutch, who's going to talk about the Blue Crab Fishery 2018 results specific to Virginia. We received the preliminary results for the winter dredge survey on April 17th, and we held a conference call with Maryland DNR and Potomac River Fisheries Commission on April 24th to discuss those results. And every year we try to do a joint public release, press release. Each state does their own release, and we discuss that. The release went out on May 6th, and Virginia's press release is in your evaluation on page 17. To give you some background on the winter dredge survey, it's the information is coming from the CBSAC, which is the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee. This is a committee that oversees the survey. The partners are shown below. It is the subcommittee of NOAA's Chesapeake Bay Program's Sustainable Fisheries Goal and Implementation Team. They work up the data. They look for any recommendations, and they'll put out a final report by June of this year. The survey has been conducted by VIMS and Maryland DNR since 1989. It samples the entire Chesapeake Bay and many of the tributaries. 1,500 random sites are done between December 15th and March 15th. It is across two calendar years, so when we present the data, we do that as the terminal year. So this is the 2018-2019 survey, and we show the data as the terminal year 2019. The objectives of the survey are to describe the size and sex composition of baywide blue crab population. They do this by separating crabs into age zeros, which are crabs less than 2.4 inches in carapace width from point to point. Those are crabs that will be entering the fishery later this summer into the fall and will be next year's 2020's reproductive stock. Or adults or age 1 pluses, which are the crabs that are spawning right now in May or in July and August of this year. They create estimates of accurate estimates of baywide blue crab abundance. They do total numbers. They do juvenile males, juvenile females, all juveniles. This is a series of abundance, and I'll go through quite a few of those. They estimate exploitation rate and fishing mortality, and that's used to determine the status of the stock each year, and we'll provide some of that as well. I'm going to just give you some very brief abundance results. It's nice to stand up here and give you some good news for a change. Things are looking pretty good. All the estimates are above, well above the 2018 abundance levels, and in many cases they're above the long-term average as well. The total crab abundance is up 60% over 2018 at 594 million crabs. It's the highest since 2012. The adult female abundance is increased 30% over 2018 at 191 million crabs. It's the fifth highest in the survey's history. The juvenile abundance is almost double over 2018. It's at 324 million crabs. It's the fourth highest since 1997, seventh overall. And the males are up about 36% at 80 million crabs. I'm going to show a series of graphs that all pretty much look like this, but I'll use this as an example. This is basically showing, as I said before, we're using the terminal year. So this is the data for this year's survey is shown in 2019, which is that bar right there. The blue bars are the annual abundance estimates. The black dashed line is the long-term average from the beginning of the survey through 2019. And the blue line is the average from 09 through 19. Now, why would we do an average based on that? Is because we had a major management change in 2008. You can see there are a series of years that we were well below average. In fact, many of those years, the exploitation rate was putting us in a status of overfishing. Overfishing was occurring, and some years the population was overfished. In 2008, there was a mandatory baywide reduction of 34% for harvest of females. And you can see as a result of that, almost immediately we saw an increase in abundance in crabs. And what we're seeing now is we're seeing more of what you would expect to see. You don't see these continuous low values. We're seeing more of a cycle where we have some high years followed by some lower years, and it's basically we're being driven more by environmental factors than we are the fishery at this point in that regard. The age zero crabs, this is on page, figure two of page four of your evaluation if you want to follow on that way. As I mentioned earlier, these are all crabs that are less than 2.4 inches in carapace width. They'll be entering the fishery later this year, and they'll be the reproductive stock for next year. Crab larvae are very small crabs and not a very good way to manage because it's highly variable. There's a lot of mortality. These crabs are a little bit larger, and so it gives a very good estimate of what's going to be entering the fishery in the coming months or over the next year. The current estimate is 324 million crabs, and it's, like I said earlier, it's 93% above 2018, which was 167 million crabs, and it's 26% above the long-term average. The long-term average and the average since the manager change are virtually the same for juvenile crabs. This is the adult male abundance estimates. This is figure three on page five of the evaluation. In 2019, they were 80 million crabs. It's a 36% increase over 2018, a 4% increase over the long-term average, and about 27% increase since 2019. Now, the females are pretty much how we manage this fishery. The 2011 stock assessment defined reference points for the adult females, and we're managing on that. So we have all the management we do is based on the adult females at this point, so protecting that spawning stock and managing that spawning stock. And you can kind of see we've had a lot of lean years from 1994 through 2008, and when you bring in the manager changes, almost immediately we saw an increase in abundance. And we've seen a few lean years since then, but on average, we've been above the long-term average all but 3 years since that management change. We've had high exploitation rates prior to that during some of these years where overfishing was occurring. The long-term average is 126 million crabs. Since that management change in 2008, it's 37 million crabs higher. So it seems those management actions in Virginia, they took the place of bushel limits, not opening the crab season, and adjusting cull rings as examples of some of the management actions that took place to reach that 34% reduction.
In addition to the elimination of the winter dredge fishery.
The adult, and how we manage this is there's two control measures. There's the target, which is the green line, and that's at 215 million crabs. That's considered a healthy stock, a sustainable stock. And that's our goal, to try to maintain the population above that level. The red line on the bottom is the threshold, which is really we don't want to be below that. Below that, the population, according to the 2011 stock assessment, is considered the population is considered overfished. And you can see for a few years in the early 2000s, we were in a situation where the population of adult females was overfished. We came close in 2014, but we've been well above that since. We're about 11% below the target for 2019, but we are well above the threshold. We're over 170% above the target right now. I'm going to briefly talk some of the harvest results, but Alexa is going to go over that in much more detail. The baywide harvest was 55 million pounds in 2018, that's 2% above 2017. The exploitation rates, which is the amount of the population that's taken out by fishing, in 2018 it was 23.2%. Our target is 25.4, and our threshold is 34%. So we, 2018, we were below those exploitation rates. The male exploitation rate for 2018 was 32.9. The trigger is 34, and it's gone down a little bit from the 2017, which is 33.7. Alexa's going to give a lot of details on the Virginia data-specific information. Just to show this graph, the red is Maryland, which is over the last 10 years is about 55% of the total harvest. Potomac River Fisheries Commission is about 5%, and Virginia makes up the rest, about 42 to 45% of the harvest. And you can see a lot of those lean years that occurred in the early 2000s. We had, you know, the management changes, and we've seen increases since then. But the harvest is being controlled by that reduction, so we wouldn't expect to see our harvest jumping up too high because we took a 34% reduction. Moving on to the exploitation rates for females, this is coming from the stock assessment. These are statistically rigorous values that go through a series of calculations. It's peer-reviewed. And the information I said, the threshold is 34%. Anything above that is considered that overfishing is occurring. You're taking out, you have too much fishing pressure going on. The green line is our target, is where we try to stay at. We try to stay below that value of 25.5. We've been below that value for the last 10 years. Now, there are some folks that will say, okay, we're leaving some crabs on the table because it's only, the threshold is 23.7, I believe. 23.7 for 2018. So we're leaving a little bit of crabs on the table. But there are some circumstances with this. This is a calculation. It doesn't include dead discards. It doesn't include any calculations for doesn't include recreational harvest. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't take into account maybe some underreporting of commercial crabs. And there are some adjustments to the juvenile abundance that plays in that as well. So having that value slightly below that 25.5 is probably a good thing. We don't really want to go over it. And, you know, some folks would like to see us hovering right at that value every year. But personally, I feel having it just below that is probably better because of those unknowns that we have. The male exploitation rate is not... does not come from a stock assessment. All pretty much what it is, so it's not a reference point per se. It's a conservation trigger, and it was developed as a way of looking at male exploitation rate, which is all the it's the juveniles and the adult males combined. And all it is the second highest exploitation rate in the 30-year history of the survey. That value was at 33%. There were some adjustments that they reevaluated some of the harvest, and they readjusted some of those numbers in 2016, and that value is now at 34%. The trigger that we're using. We were right at that value in 2017, but in 2018 it went down a little bit, and we're at 32.9% for 2018. This is a little hard to read, but it's showing the same data in a tabular format. This is on page, it's table 2 on page 7 of your evaluation. It shows the harvest by jurisdiction. It shows the female exploitation rate and the male exploitation rate, which is a conservation trigger. If the value is in red, it meant that it exceeded the threshold. And you can kind of see those very lean years that we had prior to the management changes. We had, you know, very high exploitation rates, and, you know, overfishing was occurring, and we've had the last 10 years where it has not occurred. We don't use the juvenile data in the survey as management purposes at this point, but it does provide some insight. This graph is showing H0 abundance from the winter dredge survey, which is shown in blue, and the baywhite harvest, which is shown in red. The dredge survey is in millions of crabs, and the harvest is in millions of pounds, and you can see they do kind of track each other fairly well, so it's a good indication. We're seeing a lot of, as I said, our juvenile abundance is well above average for this year, so it's that's a good sign. There are a lot of variabilities. There's a lot of things that can happen between now and next year, but, you know, we're seeing much higher juveniles in the population from this past winter, and these numbers are fairly well related to each other. If you look at the regression on these, you know, the numbers represent the year and the regression line. It's not a very strong fit, but there's a significant fit. Maybe if you take a couple of these outliers out, like 2012, you might get a better fit. But there is a relationship between harvest and the juvenile abundance that exists. Things are looking good right now. I mean, all the abundances are high. Alexa's going to provide some information on the Virginia harvest and potential harvest changes we may suggest moving on. And I will take any questions you have at this time.
Any questions, Mr. Gear? Very thorough presentation, Pat. Appreciate it. You may have some later.
I have.
Alexa next?
Alexa's up.
All right. Alexa, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll leave that up just in case we need it.
Good morning, Commissioner, members of the Commission.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now that we've seen what the crab stock looks like moving forward, I'll be looking back at our 2018 harvest. First, I have a few graphs to follow up on the Winter Dredge Survey's Baywide Harvest Report. Historically, Virginia has accounted for the majority of female harvest due to the reproductive cycle of crabs in which females migrate to warmer waters, typically spawning near the mouth of Chesapeake Bay. The lines show the percent of female crab harvest that comes from each state, and in 2018, female harvest was almost equal between Maryland and Virginia. You can see from the columns, which represent actual harvest, that for the last 2 years, Maryland's female harvest has been increasing while Virginia's has declined. It is possible that warming temperatures have allowed females to spend more time in the northern waters of the bay. Male harvest is historically higher in Maryland because once they mature, male crabs tend to stay in the northernmost parts of the bay. This distribution has remained fairly constant over the last 10 years, even when actual harvest has varied. Here's a brief overview of the fishery harvesting blue crabs from Virginia waters in 2018. Harvest was 23.1 million pounds. Hard crab pods accounted for over 95% of that, with peeler pods at 4%, and other gears, including trot lines, crab pounds, crab traps, were about 1%. The crabs landed were valued at $24 million, and 879 crabbers took almost 62,000 trips. Dockside value is surveyed through our mandatory reporting program, and all prior years are adjusted for inflation to the 2018 value using the Consumer Price Index. Value decreased slightly since 2017, but other than in 2015 and 16, all prior years have been around the same range since 2012. 1,214 individuals were eligible for a hard crab pot license in 2018. 1,062 licenses were purchased, and of those, only 791 licensees reported harvest. This makes latent effort, or those who could enter the fishery if they so choose, around 36%. Active effort declined rapidly leading up to 2008 when the fishery disaster was declared. Since then, the percentage of active harvesters has been fairly constant, with some signs of a slow decline. Here you can see the eligible, sold, and active licenses for the major pot categories. Most latent effort appears to be in the 255 pot category, but only half of eligible 85 pot licensees harvested. Not listed here are the 127 and 170 pot categories, which only had 41 and 16 active harvesters, respectively. Harvester activity is shown here as the number of days each harvester targeted blue crabs, analogous to effort and trips. 75% of the 791 hard crab pot harvesters worked more than 23 days, and the median harvest days was 52. This is out of 222 legal harvest days in 2018. And the maximum number of days reported by one crabber was 210. The distribution of harvest days also depends on how many pots a harvester is licensed for. Most 85 pot licensees worked 10 to 50 days, with most 255 pot licensees worked 50 to 100 days, and most 425 pot licensees worked 150 or more days. The zero harvest counts you see there counts those who were eligible for a license and did not purchase one, or those who had a license and did not use it. In each of the following harvest graphs, the differently colored bars represent harvest before and after the 2008 fishery disaster, with the management changes including the closure of the dredge fishery. Here is total harvest by hard crab pot, which was 22,142,000 pounds. This is below the 1994 to 2018 average of 23,844,000 and the 2008 to 2018 average of 22,900,000. Effort, or number of trips, which you can see on the green line, declined by 4% from 2017, but harvest only declined 2%, suggesting a higher catch per unit effort in 2018. Here you can see the monthly harvest by crab pot. Due to a cold winter and spring, effort and thus harvest were lower, below average in the beginning of the year, but this was balanced by above average harvest in the latter half of the year. The total harvest from peeler pots was 868,000 pounds, up slightly from 2017, but below the 2008-18 average of 929,000 and well below the long-term average of 1,128,000 pounds. The number of trips, again on the green line, decreased 9% from 2017 for the peeler pot fishery, meaning catch per unit effort was again higher in 2018. Upon presentation of these data to the Crab Management Advisory Committee at their May 7th meeting, the committee made a motion to recommend an increase to the fall fishal limit to be the same as in summer. Staff examined data relevant to that request. The effect such an increase would have depends on November effort. Here you can see how the number of harvesters per day drops off from October to November. The bushel decrease is not necessarily responsible for this. The blue line is the average daily harvesters for October, early November, and late November in 2013, when the bushel limit was the same in November as in the rest of the year. On the purple line, from 2014 to 2016, there's a bushel decrease from November 16th to 30th, and on the green line, in 2017 and 18, the bushel limit was lowered for all of November. The decrease in daily harvesters you can see here from October to November has been around 40 to 60%. Staff has heard that many crabbers exit the fishery to start oystering when the bushel limit lowers, but there has actually been less of a decrease since the fall bushel limit was put in place, which you can see in these years here. Since 2014, harvesters reached their bushel limit only 2 to 6% of their November trips. In a simulation applying the higher bushel limit to 2017 and 18 trips, November harvest increased up to 8%. We could expect the November 2019 harvest under an increased bushel limit to be up to 8% higher than with the current bushel limit decrease. If all of things remained constant from 2018 to 2019, we would expect increasing the bushel limit to increase annual harvest up to 0.5%. However, you saw in Pat's presentation that abundance has increased since the 2018 survey. Staff noticed that the growth in abundance from the winter dredge survey from 2018 to 19 showed a similar pattern to 2009 and 10, especially in respect to the growth of total abundance and juveniles. In simulation, November 2018 harvest grew by 8% under an increased November bushel limit. We would expect to see that November 2019 harvest thus would be 8% higher under an increased bushel limit than with the current November decrease. This could increase 2019 annual harvest by 0.5%. This assumes that a November bushel limit increase is the only change affecting harvest. If a higher abundance is what caused the harvest to increase 15% from 26 million pounds in 2009 to nearly 30 million pounds in 2010, we could expect to see a similar percent growth in 2018 to 19. Based on this, if we factor in the higher abundance, we could predict that harvest could increase up to 15% in 2019 from 2018. The actual percent growth will depend on a highly variable crab population and such factors as weather and temperature, market, and that the model years of 2009 and 2010, where the 15% came from, had no bushel limits. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? When's the last time we did a demographic study on the age of the watermen?
Seven years ago.
What was the average age then, Rob? Do you recall?
I believe it was 56, if not a little bit higher.
Questions? Mr. France.
I have a question, and maybe somebody's, I'm sure somebody can answer it in staff, but when you see the amount of crabs caught by Maryland and Virginia, what is the difference in effort from Maryland and Virginia? Do we know that?
We know there's substantially more effort in Maryland. They're up to 900 pots. What they have system...
Rob, come here, please, sir.
What they have for their system is they have a TFL, Title Fishing License, and that allows harvesters to have 300, and then you can add on two to that to get up to a 900 pot limit. I haven't looked at it recently, but several years ago, it was over 2,000 crab fishers, and yes, they do have the small time fishermen as well, but there's certainly a lot more effort in Maryland. One of the things that Alexa showed is the, and one thing which I'll talk about in a few minutes, was the increase in the harvest of female crabs in Maryland. September and October is a big time in Maryland for female crabs. And for years, we didn't really know that. The internet helped that out a little bit, but that is certainly a time when the amount of female crab harvest is very large. So,
The reason I asked that question, I'm just wondering how our effort compares to their effort. I mean, I know that, I mean, pot to pot wise is what I mean.
Right.
Because, they can crab sun up to sundown 7 days a week.
Yeah. It looks like on the 425 pot license, which used to be 500 pots, that there's going to be consistent amount of days work. The largest crab pot category with about 650 individuals, I'm just doing it roughly, so you have what used to be the 300 pot limit, which is now 255. That is really generating a lot of our harvest. But the effort, when you look at some of those graphs, it's been pretty stable. There's always a question, will good abundance, like we have this year, invite latent effort into the fishery? And so far we haven't found that. As a matter of fact, CBSAC asked the states to do an exploration of that, and the conclusion was that it really doesn't invite a lot of latent effort. Rather, there are individuals, as you probably know, holding licenses, waiting to see if they'll transfer or whether they'll pass them on to family, whatever they do. So effort's been pretty constant in Virginia. I can't tell you exactly how it changes in Maryland.
I have another question.
Yes, sir, Mr. France.
Yeah. When the winter dry survey was done, did we see any difference in the northern areas like Maryland and PRFC as compared to Virginia? Were they up or down, or Virginia more, or is it consistently better everywhere?
I believe Dr. Lipschitz of BIMS is looking into that.
Yes, we asked it the last time we saw Dr. Lipschitz. He used to prepare some charts, and when there are low abundance in the juveniles, you can see them clustered around Pocomo, Tangier area below there. If there's good abundance, they're spread out more. And he had a series of charts he did for about 7 or 8 years, which were really informative to see those. And we asked him to do the same thing over again, and also with the one pluses. But in general, you're going to find more female crabs in Virginia in the winter dredge survey.
The reason I ask that question is, with the wet year that we had last year, I was just wondering if maybe more crabs got drove to the southern areas and lower rivers and didn't stay up in the middle rivers and other areas.
Dr. Lipschitz couldn't be here today. He sent a note, but that's certainly one of the things that we'll ask him, and be happy if there's time on an agenda in the future to bring that up.
Thank you.
Further questions? Very well done. Thank you very much. Is that the end of that discussion aspect of it, Mr. O'Reilly? Okay.